96.1 KLPX. I'm talking to Mark Slaughter from Slaughter. He's coming out for Metal Mayhem 2 tomorrow night. And right now I caught him at the airport. He's waiting to get on a flight out to Tucson. So do you plan on partying tonight beforehand?
Yeah, you know, I'm not much of a partier. I being a vocalist is a totally different dynamic. You know, if I was a guitar player, I'd be out.
Oh, yeah.
Only guitar, I'd be all over it. But, you know, when you're singing, you got to protect your voice.
For Metal Mayhem 2, what do you plan on bringing to us? Both solo and Slaughter stuff, or just Slaughter stuff?
It's just Slaughter stuff, yeah. The stuff that I do is more of an artist thing that I do on my own. What people will see is a great show. It's Bret Michaels and Lynch Mob, which George is from that area as well. Mm-hmm. And we're gonna rock it. It's gonna be a great show.
When you were a kid, what was that driving force to make you decide to pursue a career in music, knowing how hard it is to break into the industry?
You know, not to where I ever looked at it and went, oh, this is gonna be hard. It's just, I think it's the love of music. It's just, you know, why I'm still recording to this day is I enjoy entertaining. I enjoy that whole aspect of it. It's either in your blood or, you know, you're just gonna halfway do it. We're the doers out there. We go out every weekend, still play, and we love it.
Yeah, and it worked out for you, but everybody has a backup plan, so what was yours?
I had belief that I would do well in this industry because I was so driven in it, and I think that anything that you really apply yourself to do, you can really do. It's just whether or not you have the breaks, and luckily I got those breaks along the way. But my father was an electrician. You know, I knew a little bit about that. You know, I'm hands-on, and that was probably what my backup plan. By 25, if I didn't do it, I was going to be an electrician. But, you know, the cards dealt a different hand, and still doing it to this day.
Yeah, and last year you released a new solo album, Reflections in a Rearview Mirror, online. A lot of your fans do check out your stuff on YouTube, and now a bunch of musicians are getting together petitioning the online giant for more royalties. How do you feel about that?
The whole music industry is very complicated, and it's kind of like one of those things that if you built a house, so to speak, that obviously if somebody buys the house, they can have it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's something that's so easy to slip under the radar. There's really no policing that. And it's really become more of a live entertainment. If, you know, like the old jazz musicians, mm-hmm. It's actually reverted back to where how things used to be. It wasn't about the recordings. Then it became about the recordings. Then the recordings were something that you went to tour to support the recordings. Now it's completely the opposite. You go out and play to basically sell your music.
Oh, yeah.
It's a completely upside-down model of how it used to be.
Yep, the industry has definitely changed over the years from the perspective of the listener anyways. But, you know, over the years, you've gotten on stage, you've hit those high notes that we know and love. Has there ever been a point in your career where you thought, oh no, I overused my voice, my vocal cords, there's something wrong, and I fear that this could be the end?
Every singer at some point has been in trouble, and even mm-hmm. if they say they haven't, they have been. It's just a common thing. What people don't understand is when somebody says, I have a nodule or I have something in my vocal cord, mm-hmm. it's no different than if you're a mechanic and you're holding a wrench a lot, you get a callus in your hand. Well, that's what happens with your voice. From your cords rubbing together. The most detrimental thing for a singer is to actually talk. Celine Dion, for instance, she doesn't talk at all. She writes on paper with pen, and that's how she communicates when she's doing her shows, because it really takes a lot out of you when you're talking a lot. I think that's really the key point, is you just learn your instrument. You know what the capabilities of what you're able to do. I don't really think about it. I take care of myself, and I do the best I can. And when I'm out to go perform, we're entertainers. That's what all of us do, whether it's Bret Michaels or Lynch Mob or us, Slaughter. This is what we do. This is what we live for. We love it.
Well, what's your pre-concert ritual to get you ready for the show? I mean, obviously, you get a good night's rest the night before, but are you having lots of tea and water and lemon and all that good stuff?
Yeah, I just kind of drink a lot of water throughout the day so I'm hydrated. Otherwise, your vocal cords don't perform well. Other than that, you know, sometimes we'll have a couple shots of vodka. Glenda will have their glass of wine, and I'll have a couple shots of tequila, and not anything to get over the top. Never had it hangover of my life, you know, so I'm not much of a drinker, but sure take the edge off, and we certainly have, when we go out there, we're pretty relaxed, ready to do it.
Any tequila recommendations for us? What should we bring you backstage?
Patron.
Okay.
Patron Silver. Yeah, that's what we like.
Okay, well, that's good to know. Now, a few minutes ago, you mentioned Celine Dion. Have you ever worked with any people that are residents on the Strip? Celine Dion, Elton John, I mean, the list goes on.
Let's look back when I was, you know, in junior high school, actually, it was in my 8th to 9th grade. There was a gentleman who played in Glenn Miller's band, which is a jazz artist in the 40s, big artist. Some people probably don't even know who he is, but he had an orchestra, and his trumpet player came into our jazz band, and he went around with everybody as they were reading the charts and playing their music. One of the things he said to me was probably one of the coolest things that somebody could say for this jazz cat. He goes, "Listen, man, whatever you do, even if the note is wrong, you just play with all your heart, because if you meant to play it, it's right." And it's like you take the fear out of music and you put the love in it, and that improvising thing, that's what makes it to where you're comfortable. That's really what we do in Slaughters. We have that improvising, that fun thing, and we have fun with what we do, but at the same time, we keep to the body of the work. I think that was probably one of the most influential things that anybody ever said to me as far as in this industry. But that's old Vegas.
Hey, that is old Vegas, but that's great. I love it. Who would you say has influenced your career the most throughout the years? What musicians started you up?
Obviously, Aerosmith, Led Zeppelin, I'd say Aretha Franklin, Chaka Khan. You know, it's real diverse. I mean, I'm all over the place. Paul McCartney, the Beatles, obviously, you know.
When you're not touring, do you ever go out to a few shows? And if so, what concerts are on your radar for the year coming up?
Queensryche Down with Scorpions. They just came through town here, and that was amazing. There's a jazz thing called Snarky Puppy I actually enjoy watching, but it's very jazz. It's whoever is the soundtrack to your life. That's what I always try to catch.
You've toured with a ton of bands over the years. What's the craziest backstage story that you have, and with who?
The craziness that goes on with being backstage is some of it's not, I wish I put it G-rated. Here's one. When you're touring with an artist, they'll play jokes on each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we were on the road with Ted Nugent, and I was like, what can I do to mess with Ted? Because everybody's scared of Ted, but I understand Ted. So I actually dressed up in Las Vegas in a panda outfit, and I went around the backstage area, and I knocked on his backstage door, and he opens the door, and he steps back. And, you know, he carries all the time. He's a marshal.
Mm-hmm.
He carries a gun everywhere he goes. And he stepped back, and I go, "Hi, Ted, give me a hug." And he looked at me, and then I pulled the head off, and he goes, "Marshal, are you crazy son of a bitch? I thought you were a PETA."
Oh, my gosh.
I have to shoot you.
Oh, my gosh.
There were some F-bombs and everything else in there on top of it, but we'll edit it out. But, you know, those are the fun times. There's a lot of great people in this industry. There's a lot of great times. And, you know, it's hard to even pinpoint one special moment of it. But, you know, it's always a smile, and it's always nice to see, you know, your friends at the concerts. Like when I see Brett, I haven't seen Brett in a while. Mm-hmm. It'd be nice playing with him and George and Oni of Lynch Mob. Really looking forward to it. It's like old home week or high school, you know, reunion, so to speak.
What are some spots that you would love to share with us that you like to go to? Hidden gems in Vegas that we wouldn't know about?
Well, the hidden gems, and you know this from being Tucson, there's a lot of beauty in the desert. And there's some places right outside Vegas called the Valley of Fire, which is this brilliant, beautiful place that the Anasazi Indians have hieroglyphics all over the walls as you walk around in the rocks there. And that's really cool. If you're looking for the nightlife, man, you can walk in any of the mini hotels, and there's always something going on, and the chefs are second to none.
Oh, absolutely. But where do we go if we want to find you on a random day in Las Vegas?
A random day in Las Vegas, I could be at the Hard Rock Pool. I could be over at downtown at the D. And, you know, it's just kind of really float around. The locals don't necessarily stay on the Strip. They also go in the outskirts.
Oh, I definitely know that. I actually used to live in Las Vegas back in the day, and I worked for a morning show way back in the day. Yeah, I was their sidekick girl for a while.
So you know Vegas, and it's a wonderful city, and there's a lot of great things to do. But, you know, for instance, you go into Tucson, and it, you know, things are a little bit more normal.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. They have Normandies and the people watching. It's fantastic in Las Vegas, so I give it to you that.
Oh, and I love the fact that it's a 24-hour-a-day city. I mean, I love that.
That's the only thing you miss after you've lived in Las Vegas. You go, you're kidding me. It's closed. It's 9 o'clock.
I know, exactly. You can't get dinner past 10 around here? Come on.
No, it's funny. You know, when I moved out to Genesee, which is where I live now, you know, I used to, when 11 o'clock came, 11 o'clock p.m., mm-hmm. would come around. I was like, oh man, it's 11 o'clock. Let's go have a steak and egg special. Because you leave and go have this incredible meal that you couldn't even fix for the same money. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you'd meet all your friends. Hey, we're going to be there. And, you know, it's just a lot of fun. That's, you know, I miss that aspect of it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And speaking of Tennessee, you actually have worked with St. Jude at one point in your career. You've helped donate to their organization. What made you decide to get involved with them?
There's a gentleman in the industry who took me over there, and it was just one of those things that was just absolutely fantastic that you see that, you know, a lot of these charities and stuff, they, you know, the money doesn't really go to the charity. And when I saw what was going on, they're working miracles over there. They're taking 86 cents of every dollar to the cause.
Yeah.
So you have this mindset that everybody is really working towards a cure, working towards to help these kids. And it's not just the kids, to actually cure even Parkinson's and all kinds of other diseases. It's just a really fantastic operation they have over there. It's a great organization. It's a great charity. They're fantastic people. And, you know, they're changing lives. And that's really what life is about. You do good things come back, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Now, who would you want to work with in the future? Maybe a possible collaboration with another musician, or are you just sticking to your own stuff?
Pretty much love to make music regardless. I'd love them. Any of my peers that wants to step up and write a song, I'm all about it, because, you know, Slaughter is a very, very rare commodity. And aside to Dana and I, when we started the band, we're the only band that wrote and performed and produced our own music. So we were really hands-on from the very beginning. So it's very different.
You were pretty much a one-man band. Why didn't you decide to get away from the record labels? Like so many bands are doing today, they're re-recording their albums without the record label and just making profit for themselves at that point. Or have you thought about doing that?
Well, you know, for Slaughter, those original recordings, it's the sound of the way things are recorded. It's the way that you did it then. You know, to re-record, a lot of bands will go re-record the same songs they have so that they actually can keep all the money.
Mm-hmm.
But I think sometimes it really cheapens the original recording, because that's what people love. Not saying that, you know, that, for instance, if Cheap Trick redoes a song, that I wouldn't love what Cheap Trick does. But there's a magic for those original recordings in the imperfections of the way things are done back then. You'd miss that.
Yeah. Any big plans coming up for Slaughter? Are you working on some new music?
Yeah, I'm working on some new music, and continue to write both for, you know, for my own records, for television, for movies. You know, there's no limit to, you know, what we do or how we do it. It's just kind of get out there, make music, and be a part of it.
Anything else you want to share about the show coming up tomorrow?
It's just going to be a great show. We're really looking forward to it. It's been a long time. Looking forward to being out there in Tucson. And this is a party waiting to happen. So everybody, come on out and join us. And it's going to be a weekend of it as well. Come on out and raise your hands and raise your glasses and let's do this.
And Patron Silver is your drink of choice if we want to meet you backstage. Just bring you a
That's
shot.
Right. If you're going to catch up, then come on, bring it on.
Okay, well, we can't wait to see you tomorrow night at Metal Mayhem 2. We're getting our tickets right now, so we'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you so much.